Half an OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, as we welcome you into the program here tonight. And the Vikings all over the Chicago Bears tonight. 30-12 was the final. And, guys, I don't think it was even that close, to be honest with you. There was not a whole lot to say, yeah, that was good about this game tonight.
Well, folks, I think we've reached the point where we know exactly which way this team has got to go, and it's got to be a house cleaning. And first and foremost, you know, at some point, OB, you think, okay, there was a little spark when they got rid of Shane Waldron. And then when they got rid of Eberflus, they made the move to move Thomas Brown to the de facto interim head coach, and Chris Beatty became the offensive coordinator. And from that point on, it's like the wheels came off. And, you know, there's a certain level a player can achieve, and without special talent, they can't rise above that. And it's obvious that the new direction, it has hit a wall. And we have almost become so pathetic as a football team, and especially in the offense, that the rest of the league has just got to be laughing at us.
Well, Danny, there's so many things you could say that I don't have what, folks, I don't have one good thing to say. Not one. Except that the game is over. Okay? But, you know, I always talk about the most critical down in football. And boy, if you're going to win, this is the one stat that you've got to have that's got to be in your favor, on your side. Third down efficiency, we were 1-for-12. One time in 12 attempts, we converted, and we went three times on fourth down. We converted one time. Now, folks, you're going, and we've got a couple of two, three games left here, and we have won 4 and lost 10, and. I mentioned, remember, the back half of the season, the storm is coming. It doesn't matter if you win by 1 point or you win by 30 points. It doesn't matter. Winning and losing matters, okay? And from what I have seen, now, you remember when Brown started here and he was going to be the head coach and interviewed him, and one of the first things out of his mouth, he said three things, but one of them was, we're going to attack. We're going to attack. How many times did you listeners, when you watched this game tonight, did you see the Bears try to go downfield? Maybe one time in 4 quarters, do we try to launch the football down the field? You go back to last week. Go back to the week before. The week before. Folks, you're not going to win a football game. You don't utilize this entire width and length of this field, and almost you got to try to convert on third downs, move the ball down the field, and we don't even attempt one time to go downfield today. You know, the Vikings, they're not a juggernaut, but I'll tell you what I'm finding out more and more. Now that we are officially 4 wins and 10 losses, and we haven't beaten one team with a winning record, this coaching staff, and I mean this, there's 26 of them or 25 of them that are left, have to go. And somebody's got to take a hard look at polls. You can't keep going from game to game and year to year and think you're the Bears are going to be the beloved team in Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. My God, what you saw out there today, how could you not attack this team? What the hell do you have to lose? Why don't you try to stretch the field? Why don't you try to go into the end zone? Why don't you try to score a touchdown? We don't score touchdowns. We kick field goals. Danny, This was pathetic.
It was.
This was pathetic, folk. And if you want to take a look at effort of some of these athletes that we have and the attitude that they show on that playing field, I'm going to tell you what. We have a ton of very serious problems, folks. And I don't know how the hell you're going to fix it. There's only one way that I know. Last game of the year, gun goes off. 1 minute later, fire everybody. You cannot keep one person on this staff. Not one. You got a clean house. Get everybody out of here.
Well, okay. And I'm all for that. But, okay, now you're going to have to find the next staff. And you're going to have to find someone that is capable and competent. And the more I watch this team completely unravel, those coaches you're talking about, who hired them? Eberflus had a hand, but Ryan Poles had a lot to do with it. And here's the problem, folks. We have now shown that he is incompetent, but yet the new president, Kevin Warren, is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. Part of the reason why Jim Harbaugh was not even contacted a year ago, when we should have made the change and prepare for a new era with a brand new quarterback where we had the first overall pick in the draft, we should have made the changes then. But no, no.
That was the logical one, Danny.
Right.
They really should have went after him.
But why didn't we, OB? Because Kevin Warren was the commissioner of the Big Ten, and he had had it out for Jim Harbaugh. And there was no way in hell they were even going to make a phone call to him. And guess what? When you start letting personalities get in the way of the big picture, which is finding a way to make the Bears a championship team again, then everybody's got to go. And I mean everybody.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at this again, Danny. And I mentioned the other day that, you know, the Bears, you know, I've never seen a newspaper really go after ownership here in Chicago. I haven't seen it. And there's one newspaper that did, and they came up, and I mentioned this before, and I'll say it again. The Three Bears, or the Three Stooges, Poles, Warren, and McCaskey. And all three pictures are on right on the back page of the sports section. The Three Stooges. I'm thinking, Danny, I hear it more and more. It started a few years ago. The Bears have to sell. They have to sell. They have to sell. And I'm starting to think along those lines. They've got to sell this team, Danny. They can't. I don't know if the McCaskey.
The decisions.
I've never had a problem personally with any one of them. But my God, how many times are you going to go back year after year after year and the same mistakes? The same mistakes.
Game after game after game. And folks, back to Kevin Warren. I have said this for a year now. The Kevin Warren took this job thinking it's going to be a laugh track, creating a stepping stone where he could say, I'm the next NFL commissioner after Goodell steps down. Goodell's 68 or 9. It won't be long. And that is his ulterior motive. And he's here supposedly to find a way to build a new stadium. Who the hell's going to come watch this? I don't care if it was a Taj Mahal. Here's the point. Kevin Warren is a big part of the problem. Ryan Poles is the problem. But more importantly, think back. A few years ago, there was a book about Abraham Lincoln. The name of the book was A Team of Rivals. A Team of Rivals. And what that meant was he hired a bunch of people in his cabinet that hated each other, but they were all ruthlessly smart, and they knew the answers. And yet, they worked for the common good because they wanted to be promoted and favored. Well, guess what? We've got a coaching staff of incompetence from the defense to the offense to the special. I'm up and down the line. And who made the decision to bring them here? Ryan Poles.
Okay.
Much more to get through. We've got to take a quick time out for the news. And we've got a lot of time to take your phone calls and to have our opinions expressed here.
Because I got a few more.
I think you do.
Daggers.
He's not done yet.
He is definitely not done yet. And we're not done yet. We'll again go to midnight here tonight. 312-981-7200. 30-12. It was the Vikings over the Bears again. Bears shut out in the first half for the fifth time this year.
And I'm going to tell you, there's two plays in the game would have put us in a position to win this game. I know you're going to laugh. But we'll talk about that.
All right, we'll get back to the calls, and we'll get back to our thoughts about the Bears' loss here tonight right after the news.
Got to convert. End zone, there it is. Touchdown, Allen. And a fastball from Caleb Williams.
Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlight courtesy of ABC ESPN. The lone highlight for the Chicago Bears tonight, the touchdown pass. They went for two after that, then were unsuccessful. Otherwise, not a whole lot to talk about as far as the positive ends of things tonight with a 30-12 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota moves to 12-2, and the Bears fall to 4-10. And the Bears up next have the Detroit Lions coming to Soldier Field on Sunday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And, you know, watching this game, guys, I mean, another shutout in the first half. This team cannot get out of its own way in the first half of games.
Well, and we've had five games this year,
yeah.
In the first half this season, the most in the NFL. And it goes back to what I just said. It is total incompetence from the first regime to the second regime to the third regime now. And make no mistake, we're on the third regime of the offensive, you know, control. So at some point, you gotta put some of the blame on the quarterback. He was bad tonight. He was wild. He couldn't get rid of the ball. He couldn't make his reads. They did a good job of confusing him. But sooner or later, you're going to have to make some decisions and get the ball out. We didn't do it. We fell behind, and you know the rest.
Dan, what did we start out again? Against the Niners? What was the halftime score?
It was 24-0, yeah.
24-0, folks. That was the halftime score. The halftime score today, 13. 13-0. And we've converted in the first half, folks, 0-for-6. Could not convert on a third down. Again, when you don't convert, you can't score points. Why? Because you're not moving the ball down the field, eating up the clock, and eventually putting points on the board. That's why I say it's the most important down. And guess, we are the worst. We are the worst. And going into this game, folks, going into this game tonight, our offense. Now, Dan, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong here. You know where we ranked in total offense in the National Football League? Dead last. Our offense with this phenomenal quarterback and everybody else who all of a sudden now was supposed to be wonderful and whatever have you. Okay? Dead last, folks. We are. Three games left to go, and we ranked 32nd. Dead last in the cellar on total offense. We can't convert on third down. And again, we lose again. I have nothing good to say. Absolutely nothing. Williams, you can take him any day you want and run with him. I wouldn't have him within 10 yards of me. And the rest of these guys on this team and this coaching staff. My God, how the hell can you have an offense that can't score a point in the first half of a football game? They can't score a point. They can't convert on third down. And everything is okay, and they're going to get better. Oh, he looks real good with 3 minutes to go in the game. Oh, look at him. He's running. He's throwing. The game is over with. Okay? Why isn't he doing it from the get-go? Why isn't he doing it in the first quarter? Why isn't he doing it in the second quarter? That's when you make your mark. That's when you set the standard. In the first half of a football game, you got to come out firing. You got to come out with fire and brimstone and let your opponents, let them have it. Let them have it. Ram it down their throats. We do nothing. We do nothing but get it rammed down our throats. The statistics don't lie.
Case in point, the last three football games the Bears have played, we've been outscored 53-0 in the first half. Three consecutive games, 53-0. Let's get to the phones.
312-981-7200. We'll start it off with Maurice. Maurice, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. As always, you've stolen my thunder, but I have a couple of sparks to put out here to add to your anger, OB, and Danimal. Caleb Williams is the most sacked quarterback in the league. That has been statistically stated. The offensive line can't protect him. Also, you have an ineptitude. What is DJ Moore doing running the damn ball? He's a receiver. Now, they did get Cole Kmet involved in the game, but, well, that didn't work all that well.
Cole Kmet caught one pass on one attempt. I mean, the whole thing was disjointed from the beginning. And, Mari, let me just tell you, the reason that DJ Moore was given the ball early, and again, this is kind of pie in the sky dreaming by Chris Beatty, the new offensive coordinator. He thinks, oh, he's just like DJ, you know, DJ is just like Deebo Samuel, and we're going to get him involved, and we're going to get the Vikings on their heels. They won't know what to think, where to, you know, how to set up, where to look for, and we're going to get him off balance. And for a little bit, it kind of worked on the first drive. But after that, obviously, they went away from it, and then the offense imploded.
All right, back to the phone. Let's go out to Mount Prospect and say hi to Brian. Brian, you're up with Amp and OB. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Amp OB. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys. First of all, does it irk you as much as it does me that Poles is sitting in his chair chewing gum in the third or fourth quarter, just like nonchalantly relaxed that he's losing by however many points he's losing? Second of all, I want to know your guys' opinion on Romo Duthe's father posting on Twitter that Rome should have like 1,500 yards if he was on any other NFC North team. Meanwhile, there's a beautiful dime by Caleb in the third or fourth quarter right to his hands in the end zone. And
third quarter.
It.
Yep. You're exactly right. So and he dropped it.
Yep. Would that bother you guys if your father or mother was posting? Would it affect your game? How would it affect Rome? Does it affect Caleb? You know, just to what extent does that play into how they're playing?
Brian, my mother and father would never say one word, period.
Guys, and let me just tell you, please stay tuned because I've got a lot of stuff we need to go over, but I don't want to make the callers wait. But there's a lot of sinister things happening behind the scenes on both sides of the ball that has not only happened and now has permeated the entire team. We got to talk about that.
I just want to say something real quickly here. Again, when is Caleb Williams, number 18, our quarterback, when is he going to put this team on his shoulders and move him forward? Take him up another notch. I mentioned that last week and a little bit the week before, but I think we got three games left. When is he going to do it? We play an entire first half, and this kid does nothing. Does nothing, folks. Doesn't throw the ball, doesn't run it. We can't convert on third down, and we don't score points. Those are what the numbers tell you. And he's this great quarterback?
And just remember this, so much of tonight was sabotaged with the Doug Kramer, inserting him into the game and him being so, you know, out of his mind, he doesn't even check in. You got to check in. He didn't do it. How many times have we heard that? And this coaching staff is so incompetent, they insert him and don't tell him, you've got to check in.
Dan, you... folks, this coach,
this
coaching staff, I'm going to tell you, and I know Eberflus put this together. These where the hell they found these people and give them the title of offensive coordinator,
passing game coordinator,
a quarterback coach. These guys couldn't coach a donkey how to walk.
We'll get back to the phones in just a second.
Hang on, folks. Please hang on.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? Sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. I have one name written down here. It's Kieran Amagaji, who was completely overmatched most of the game. He had four different penalties against him, but they didn't give him any help, and he did not have a lot of time to get ready for this game.
I talked about this in the pregame. I mean, the kid was told yesterday he was going to start tonight. He didn't get any kind of live practice. How do you do that? But more importantly, what I talked about in the pregame, OB, you have to make sure you put a tight end over there till somewhere in the second quarter, give him a chance to fill his area out.
Andy and Dan, I mean, and to our listeners, what Dan just said is correct. You go through that in practice. You know, if you have a kid that's really going to be almost basically his first start, so to speak. Okay?
It was his first start. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, all right. And he's what? He played just a little bit. But you know, you got to give him help. So you work through that during the week from day to day to day to day. And you do that. That's exactly what you do. Obviously, they didn't.
All right, Forgotten Hole, please stay there. Again, the Bears lose tonight to the Minnesota Vikings 30-12, the final.
Back to the Gamp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here, 30-12. The final as the Minnesota Vikings beat the Chicago Bears to send them to 4-10 on the season. Vikings now move to 12-2. And right now they are tied with the Lions atop the NFC North.
Yep. And
watch out for the Packers.
Yep.
Good point.
No kidding. Well, let's get back to the callers here.
All right, let's do that. Let's go out to the South Side and say hi to Bill. Bill, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. You know, the thing that bothers me the most is this team is not as bad as they're playing. And I think everything on this goes towards the management and the coaching. I used to be a Poles fan, but can you imagine if Jerry Vinici had the chance that Ryan Poles has had with those first-round picks, with the salary cap that he had, and this is the crap that he puts together? I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, the Bears, you know, they lost out on Patrick Mahomes. But if Pat Mahomes was drafted, do you think he'd have the success that he has right now if he's playing with the Bears? It's all management and coaching. It's just, I don't know what you could say when you just cannot get the right man in charge and you continue to find the biggest clown in the world to run your organization.
Well, Bill, you're not going to get an argument from me. What do you got to say, big man?
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, let's look at Caleb is what he is. I mean, it was – forget that. And there's more to be, you know, seen about his career. But Darnell Wright – has been below average this year. Last year, he showed some progress. This year, he's just been less than a competent starter. And your first-round picks have got to be difference makers. And his big signing was Montez Sweat. There were huge gaps in the game tonight when we were definitely still alive in a position to possibly get back in the game. And he wasn't anywhere on the field. And they had Robinson and Hardy and all these other nobodies out there on first, second, third down. And then finally, here comes Sweat in the game once in a blue moon. And somehow he flops around, makes a tackle or this. He has to be a difference maker when you pay him that kind of money. Same thing with Trumaine Edmonds. He is being paid a premium price to be a difference maker. Tell me a game that he has shown up and been a difference maker. All of these decisions are by Ryan Poles. And how long can you let it go? It's not going to happen overnight and everybody's just going to wake up and say, okay, we're ready to play now. It doesn't work that way.
Here's a little something, reflection on coaching and the players, okay? But let's go back last week to the 49er game. In the first half against the 49ers, Purdy, by the way, who was Mr. Irrelevant. In other words, that's the last player taken in the draft compared to our guy, Caleb's, who was the number one player taken in the half. Now, at the 49ers, the first half, Purdy put up 319 yards of offense, of which he threw seven passes of 20 yards or more in the first half. You know how many total yards we gained in the first half against them, running and passing? Four yards. I could trip and fall five. Running and passing, folks. Caleb Williams, all our 26 coaches and our team, and we put up 4 yards of offense against the 49ers, who had the last person taken in the draft, Purdy, and he's the quarterback for the 49ers, and he threw up 319 yards. And we were the score at the end of the first half, 24-0. Score today, 13-0 at half. Tell you what, you can look a lot of places and you can't miss. We are not a well-coached football team. This organization looks like it's cracks, got cracks all over it. And the players, Danny, I'm going to tell you right now, I know they, some of them have been out there trying at the hardest and doing what they have, especially the defense, but now it's starting to get to them. I don't see the defense. I see a little bit less of oomph and push and fight in the defense the last two games. But our offense and this coaching staff, folks, this offensive line of ours, I sometimes I can't find words, folks.
Okay, to illustrate your point about the offense not doing a damn thing until the game's essentially out of hand.
That's
the last. Listen to this: the Bears' last 8 touchdowns have been scored when the Bears trailed 27-6, 31-6, 24-0, 23-13, 23-7, 16-0, 27-16, and 24-10. What is that? That's called garbage time. And it's got to stop, and it's got to start earlier.
Danny, that's what I've been saying all year long, all year last year and the year before. That's exactly what I've been saying.
By the way, for the record, Montez Sweat today, I got a snap count for you. There were 77 total snaps on defense, and the $100 million man was in for 48 of them. It seemed like less, to be honest with you, but 48 out of 77.
That's unbelievable.
So that's the snap count tonight.
You know, I'd like to even ask some of our listeners, how does he
sleep at night?
How does he get away? If you had a job, if you're a steel worker or you're at the checkout counter or something, and you just take off and walk out the door and come back, and you got a job and doing this, you can't. This guy, half the time in several games this year, and it was same thing last year, folks, he's not even on the field, and he's making $1,500,000 a game.
We were outscored 13-0 in the first half. We didn't make him punt until the third quarter, and he wasn't out there half the time.
Folks,
answer that.
I'm going to tell you what, how this guy is getting away with this. And first of all, Dan, where's his personal pride? Where's his personal pride?
Evidently.
Okay? And you don't go out there, and especially when it's third and long or the opponent's going in on the score on you and you're on the sidelines, where's your pride? You're supposed to be this great pass rusher.
All right, Frown Hole, please stay there. We'll get to you after the news, we promise. Time now for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. DeMarcus Walker, we probably heard his name more today than we have in the first 14 weeks of the season. He had 4 quarterback hits today. He also had a tackle for loss. And it seemed like he was a little of a disruption there on the defensive line.
You're exactly right. And he was playing against Cam Robinson, who had 5 penalties on the night. I mean, if anything, you would think that Montez Sweat would have paid you to line up against a whooping post like that. But, oh, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah, because he's on the sidelines.
All right, we'll get back to your calls. 312-981-7200 coming up after the news.
Back to the Camp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
And welcome back. We're here till midnight. Andy Mazur alongside the guys here. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. And the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 30-12 was the final Vikings over the Bears. We'll have some more thoughts on that coming up here, but we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Scottsdale, Arizona, and welcome in Zach. Zach, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. I just wanted to say we need to fire Ryan Poles. He overpaid Montez, who doesn't break a sweat. He paid Nate Davis, traded for Chase Claypool. No good offensive line, and he doubled down on Eberflus. What is your thoughts on Poles, and who do you guys want as the next coach to lead us out of this mess? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Okay. We're all in agreement on Ryan Poles. He was in over his head, and it's now so evident.
I'm in agreement with everything that he said. In my opinion, I would take a look at Slowick. I would take a look at Ben Johnson up in Detroit. And the guy that I really take a hard look at is Cliff Kingsbury. But then there's also one other guy, Dan, and you know who.
Well, okay.
Mike Vrabel.
And Mike Vrabel is the type of coach that I think would be perfect for this situation in so many different ways.
Kind of a Brian Campbell type guy in Detroit.
Dan Campbell over in Detroit.
I mean, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, he was a low defensive end, played the game, understands it, and knows what is required to become a champion. He won 3 Super Bowls during his career. So some of those guys, I you know, that you mentioned, OB, for the offensive coordinator, Bob Slowick, the guy in Houston, they have fallen on hard times. Mm-hmm. They're having a hard time in Houston right now. So but I think
him credit for Stroud, though. I think you could do that, Dan.
Yes, and again, now we're in the doldrums of C.J. Stroud's career. He hasn't been playing well the last 2 months.
I'll take him.
But Cliff Kingsbury makes so much sense in so many different ways. If you could get him as a co-head coach, offensive coordinator.
Vrabel would be one. This Kingsbury would be two, Dan.
Yeah. And you know, the perfect world would be a great offensive mind. But it has to come with the capabilities of being a head coach. And so much of the time, this Ben Johnson character, I mean, I'm looking at him, and he's not the guy that we need here. We need a figure that would inspire confidence and commitment. And I don't think he's that kind of guy. He's got Dan Campbell to do that. So in his shadow, he's very effective as an offensive coordinator.
That was the whole knock on Matt Eberflus, too, with too much attention being paid to the defense and not enough being paid to critical coaching decisions, that the reason why he's not.
Well, Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls doing it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he had experience before that. You know, Eberflus had nothing going in.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you think some of these coaches on this team, real quickly here, wouldn't you think they could figure out that they've been going from game after game over here the last 2 years and doing nothing the first 30 minutes of football? The first half, we do nothing.
Yeah.
You think somebody would figure this out?
Yeah. And real quick, before we go back to the call, Ryan Poles. He could have stepped in with this Tyreek Stevenson thing in Washington and could have set the record and just could have taken care of it, nipped it in the bud right then and there, but he did not.
Okay, Devondre Campbell refused to go into a game last week for the 49ers. It just came out today they suspended him for the last 3 games. He should have been cut at halftime of that game. He should have been cut. And when you don't do that, the rest of the team is emboldened. They think there's no accountability.
There's one word for this team for this year, okay? The word is dysfunctional. That's what they are. A dysfunctional staff. Upper and lower and play across the board. Dysfunctional.
All right, let's go out to Las Vegas and say hi to Johnny. Johnny, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Evening, guys. You know, I've said this once and I'll say it again, that the McCaskies, they will never, ever, ever sell the team because of the Bears' name and the Bears' history. They know it's a cash cow. I don't care if they're in first place or last place. It's a cash cow. And I don't care what anybody says. They don't care. They don't care what happens, and they will not spend the money to get the proper men to coach this team. Now, guys, Caleb Williams is like a newborn baby, okay? And You have to nourish, and you got to take care of this baby. You got to know how to bring him up. We don't have the staff to know how to bring him up. So that's why he's not doing well. And think of it this way. Troy Aikman, how many games did he win his first year? You guys remember?
I think it was one.
You won one game, he was 0-11 to start.
I think they won,
His first year, he won zero. But he had an owner and a management that knew how to bring him up. And where's he today? He's in the Hall of Fame. So now, if you got the right coaching staff, the right management, we can make Caleb Williams a Hall of Famer. But we got to get the right people, but they will never, ever spend the money and get the correct management and coaching staff. What do you guys say to that?
Okay. Thank you for the call. He had Jimmy Johnson as a head coach. Brilliant defensive coach, but Jimmy delegated the offense to Norv Turner. And Norv Turner, and Aikman mentioned it tonight, he was the guy that brought him along and taught him how to play in the NFL.
It was Peyton Manning that had the one win as a rookie back in, I think it was 89 or something like that. That's who I was thinking of. All right, we'll get back to your calls. I promise, 312-981-7200.
But one last thing, folks. Talking about the coaching staff, tell me one player on this team that is playing better today than he was in September.
Yeah.
Tell me one. Just one. Nobody.
Hard to tell you. What play do the Bears need to scrap? It's sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. I think we were all in agreement. The first half game plan has got to go out the window. Whatever you guys were doing, just forget about scrapping.
Anytime Doug Kramer is thought to come into a game on offense, forget about it.
Ugh. Anyway, 312-981-7200. Back to your calls in a moment.
Chevy Dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
And it is time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And today we're going to go with...
It'll be Kyler Gordon. And you know what? The kid was really, in my mind, you know, playing his butt off, trying to do the best he could. Unfortunately, he didn't get a lot of help, especially from guys like Tyrick Stevenson. Yeah, he had an interception that was on fourth down. He should have just batted the ball to the ground. We would have got it 20 yards up the field. But Tyrick Stevenson dodged the running back at the goal line, OB.
We looked both offensively and defensively, Dan and Andy, and to our listeners. We looked discombobulated. Defensively, it looked like it was like almost like helter-skelter out there. And offense, the same thing. We didn't know if we were going to run, we're going to pass. What are we going to do? Missing blocks. And it was play after play, quarter after quarter, on both sides of the ball. And again, we get our backside handed to us.
30-12 is the final. 312-981-7200 the number. Let's go out to Skokie and say hi to Henny. Henny, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
You know, I think it's hilarious that this team feels they need a new stadium. I say go play in the old Rosemont Horizon, sell the tickets for $15, and be done with it. There's 7 rounds in the draft, correct? So let's take Kelvin Banks Jr., first pick when we get it, and just take all linemen and go from there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. We don't need any flashy players at this point, do we? What's the point of having a quarterback if you're not going to protect them? This kid is going to get hurt eventually. Like, it's just not normal to get sacked this much. What are you guys' opinion? Thanks so much.
Well, hey, look, we all know we've got the worst offensive line in football. And we've got a first-round draft pick at right tackle that's getting beat. We've got a third-round left tackle that played tonight that looked like, you know, he can't play. And a bunch of fill-ins inside, you know, at both guards in the center. So we're all for it. But at the end of the day, you got to play the hand you're dealt. And for them not to put a tight end or have somebody help Amagaje over there early in the game, where he gave up the strip sack that turned the whole ball game around, is just inexcusable and insanity.
Like that, like our offensive line coach and assistant line coach, like they didn't know that. Nobody could come up. Hey, listen, we make sure that we give this kid a little help. Make sure we do it.
You get in the face of the offensive coordinator and say, you're going to do this or else. I mean, certain things have got to be done. You've got to protect your quarterback.
Danny, it shouldn't even come down to somebody getting somebody's face. That's common sense, Dan. Amen. That's common sense as a coach. And obviously, that common sense doesn't reign in our coaching staff.
All right, out to Fox Lake we go and say hi to John. John, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Ed and Dan. You know, where I kind of feel where the season is at, it's quite evident that this coaching staff's not going to be here. We all know this. Caleb is freelancing out there. It looks like backyard football. I don't know if he's learning anything from this coaching staff. His mental psyche is gone, and his physically, he's getting beat up. If I was George, I would tell George this. You own the team. You tell Ryan Poles we're going to shut Caleb Williams down to protect our investment for next year until we get coaches or some quarterback coach whisperer that can help this kid out, because he's going to get destroyed the rest of the year. What are you proving? I'm not saying play Bajent because he's the answer. Protect your investment. Wait until you get coaches that know how to coach and get this kid's psyche back in line and get offensive linemen. The rest of the season's over. We have nothing to prove other than destroy this kid. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know what, John? The thing that I see, if you're ownership, if you're George McCaskey, okay, you got to look at the 70,000 people or whatever the number is out there that pay for those tickets and spend the money and come to the game and buy all our clothes and sweatshirts and all that stuff. You got to think of them. And if you kind of like throw in the towel right now, there's three games left. And if you give him that throw in towel type of attitude, there'd be hell to pay for that. You know, you got to go out and try and win every game. You got to win every quarter, every game, and you got to have more points than the other guy at the end of the game. That's why you play this game, to be a world champion, and you cannot throw that away just to save one guy. You just can't do it.
I think Caleb will be okay. Look, John Elway went through it. I was there when he was a rookie. We beat him to the pulp. And guess what? He came out on the other side. Terry Bradshaw, same thing. Peyton Manning, same thing. Troy Aikman, same thing. You got to go through the gauntlet. And I understand what you're saying.
Different owners.
But let me just tell you this. Chris Beattie, I know we got another caller, but Chris Beattie is the guy they brought in as the wide receiver coach, passing game coordinator. Chris Beattie. Now he has been promoted to offensive coordinator since Thomas Brown was elevated to the interim head coach.
But Thomas Brown called the plays today.
But Chris Beattie is the guy that came from the Chargers. Who else came from the Chargers? Why is this offense dysfunctional? It's like we're chasing around trying to enable Keenan Allen to be the man. And you can tell it by the way DJ Moore has played this year. He knows that there's like a subversive kind of a vibe where they're trying to feature Keenan Allen instead of setting up the offense to feed the best player and get the most yards.
Absolutely, Dan. You nailed it right on the head. How can you not use a doozy? How can you not use Cole Kmet? One time he was called today. They threw one pass to him, and it was called for one pass. And how do you not throw to DJ Moore? What Dan just said is a fact. Now, why?
But let me just throw something else in there. OB, why in the hell is this team never throwing a slant? They refuse to throw the slant. You know why? Keenan Allen is an old grifter. He doesn't want to run the slant. And the rest of the receivers are saying, well, if he's not going to run the slant pattern and get the hell knocked out of him, we're not going to run it either. So we don't even attempt a slant. Tell me the last time we ran a slant. Ever. Folks, these are facts. This is what's going on. And they're enabling this guy in a behind-the-scenes way to contaminate the offense.
You think Poles knows enough about the game?
He doesn't know
football,
anything.
Especially professional football. I mean, what did he last? About 2 hours?
How many times did we see the Green Bay Packers on 3rd and 7 run the slant? Name all the receivers. The slant. It was a staple. We don't even attempt it.
No, we don't.
And then guess what? So all the receivers basically playing the outside. Now everything becomes a lot harder.
All right, let's get to a caller before we have to break for the news at the bottom of the hour. Let's go out to Naperville and say hi to Ed. Ed, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yes, I watched the game tonight, and I think it's a travesty that the coaches, when they get on the one-yard line, run Swift every time. And Swift is a very light person. He's very good what he can do when he can go on the outside and use his speed, but he's a stupid player to call going right through the middle of the line. If they had Johnson back on there, he would have made the first down every time. It's just unfortunate he has a concussion. But why in the world did they try to run Swift for a 1 yard when they know he's the lightest person and they run him strictly in the line instead of putting him on the outside of his hook, give him a chance? And that's really irked me for quite some time. They get third down, one to go, and they can't get it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And our offensive interior is so weak, the quarterback sneak is, you know, not even an option.
Hey, wait a minute, Ed. Wait, let me just tell you something. We got Kramer.
Yeah, Doug Kramer. You could have, you know, powered through, right?
Doug Kramer, got him. He's our backup center, backup offensive guard. We can put him in a backfield.
But he's got to report. You got to remember to report, though.
The whole thing, it's preposterous. And, guys, you know, real quick, I just went into the control room and I said, I can't believe all you wonderful callers staying up late. You got work tomorrow. You're not like Montez Sweat where you can take off, you know, a third or a half the time. You got to go to work and you care about this crazy football team and how bad they have played for the last 25 years. And somehow, some way, we got to find an answer because obviously the people at Hallis Hall don't know the answers.
All right, we got to take a break for the news coming up here, and then we're with you till midnight here tonight, 312-981-7200.
Well, I thought about it, I don't know if you got to protect. So that obviously affects some stuff that you do. I think being able to also understand what this defense does as far as disguising and pressuring. Like Grissom's in the first game, you can't make a living trying to chuck the ball down the fist when they create so many turnovers. And even on the third down where we had a strip sack, it was a third and eight, tried to hold the ball a little bit longer. So those kind of deter you from wanting to take shots down the field.
Intermet coach Thomas Brown. After the Bears lose 30-12 to the Minnesota Vikings, Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Quickly, let's get to our Epical performance of the game, sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. Yeah, we scoured the stat sheet here, and we came up with a Viking. I mean, Sam Darnold did a nice job again tonight. 24 of 40, 231 yards, a touchdown. He did throw that one interception to Tyreek Stevenson and was sacked a couple of times. But you talk about a game manager and a guy that understands his personnel. He has come out of nowhere, and he's that guy.
Well, after we get this next caller, I'm going to break down the difference coaching makes in a player's career. And Sam Darnold is the topic.
All right, 312-981-7200 to Orland Park. Ameed, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Hampton OB. Great show as always. You guys do a real good job. Yeah, so I was just wondering, OB always talks about, and so does Hampton, we're always unprepared. We don't know what we're doing in the first half. For all these years, even with Nagy and everybody, what's the reasoning behind that, number one? And number two is why on the fourth and one, how come we can't get one stinking yard, one stupid, just do something creative like other teams? Like I watched Green Bay yesterday. They know what they're doing. They look so innovative, these young coaches and stuff. We look like we're like in the 1950s or something, running like weird plays on fourth and one. We can't get one stinking yard, even with Indianapolis, anybody. We look like very like unprepared. You have 6 days to do what you got to do. You can't get it prepared. That's pretty shameful, I gotta say. And I feel bad for like the fans and everybody and the ex-players and everybody. They have to see this week in and week out for all these years. What's the reasoning behind it? Do you guys know? Or
it's poor coaching. You just said it. Why is Green Bay?
Yeah, it's not a mystery.
Yeah, capable of, you know, converting on third and fourth down. They've got innovative minds coaching. football players, okay? And you know, DeAndre Swift has certain gifts. Running for, you know, on third and one in the middle is not one of them. He's too small. And half the time he's standing straight up, OB. That's not his strength. And yet, you know, a smart coach takes the talent they have. If your offensive line can't pass block, then you find a way to run the ball. If they can't run block, then you find a way to throw the ball. You find what your players can do. 1 year, John Madden went into the playoffs leading the league running the ball. 2 years later with Stabler, he was number one throwing the ball. And he went and won a Super Bowl. So smart coaches, innovative coaches, and it only illustrates how pathetic and poor this staff is. And at some point, you know, you've got it. Short yardage is all about willpower and, and asserting your will and dominating somebody at the point of attack. Our offensive line can't do that. They are that bad. And at some point, you have to realize that and be smart enough to accommodate the situation and come with a crafty play, hopefully, that will gain you a yard, 2 yards, whatever you need.
How many times, how many years, and how many times, and how many games do you see when we start a football game? When we start a football game, the opening kickoff, whether we're kicking off or we're receiving, and we play the first half of the game, we can't get a we can't convert on third down, we can't score points. Last two games, 13-0 at halftime and 24-0 at halftime. And just go back through this year, go back through last year, and what is it? We're not prepared. That's what it tells you. That's what it tells you. We're not prepared. Now, could it be that these coaches aren't prepared? Could it be that they don't have the knowledge of how to work a scheme, an offensive scheme, from week to week to play against different teams, different personnel? That we don't have the right coaches here? And if that is the problem, it's from coaching staff to coaching staff to coaching staff. It's one after another.
A new coach doesn't mean that they're going to have the answers. It's got to be the right coach. Now, let me just tell you this real quick. I mentioned this about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was the third overall pick about 5 years ago for the Jets. He didn't play well. In fact, his record as a starter was 21-35. He was run out of New York. He went to Carolina. Same thing. Blew up, didn't play well, got cut. He went to Frisco last year, was a backup. Okay, but Purdy played all year. This year, he signed with the Vikings to go and learn from Kevin O'Connell. Now, we all know that J.J. McCarthy was their first-round pick. They had every intention of him being the starter as a rookie like Caleb. And yet, he tore his knee up very first thing in the preseason. Sam Darnold was forced into becoming the starting quarterback. Now, all that being said, he has turned things around where he was 21-35 with the one touchdown to one interception ratio for those 56 games. Now he is 12-2 with a 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio and a 2.8 TD to one interception ratio. Okay. So what that's saying is he has become three times more proficient playing his position because of the tutelage of Kevin O'Connell. And here's the other thing. Sam Darnold won't be there next year. They're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. He'll go somewhere else, and he will probably be a pretty good starter. Think about him in Oakland. Think about him maybe, in Tennessee.
Vegas.
Yeah. I said Oakland. Yeah, yeah. So he'll make a ton of money. Think about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, same thing. Was kind of run out of Cleveland, went to Carolina, didn't work out. But at the end of last year, he went to the Rams. and the Rams kind of changed him. He almost won a game after showing up on Tuesday. He almost won a game because Sean McVay is such a smart quarterback whisperer. Well, McVay told him, go and sign with Kevin O'Connell, because O'Connell came from the Ram coaching staff. And this year, when Daniel Jones was run out of New York, he could have signed a lot of places. Where did he want to go? He went to Minnesota. So he could be fixed by Kevin O'Connell. Now, Kevin O'Connell isn't the only one out there. The job of whoever, and I don't want it to be Kevin Warren or Ryan Poles. I want it to be somebody else that knows the secret of identifying a coach that can do this. Remember last year we went up there, Joshua
There's
Dobbs.
There's nobody capable of doing that on this organization right
no,
now.
No, not a
There's
chance.
Nobody.
Nobody. Not a chance. But think about last year. Minnesota went into the playoffs with Joshua Dobbs, a guy that was like, you know, he's doing commercials now. Yeah, I mean, but he was coached to a point where they made the playoffs with this guy that can't play. We've got to find that type of a coach that can reach and summons the great talent that Caleb Williams has.
Let's get to our game-changing moment. It's brought to you by the Mueller Auto Group, sponsored by the Mueller family of auto dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. First quarter of the game. This is a 3-0 football game, and Caleb Williams gets sacked. And not only did he get sacked, it was stripped from him, and the Vikings turned around and scored a touchdown.
So what did I talk about in the pregame? I said you're going to have to protect Amagaji. He can't be left alone on third down. He's got to have help. Well, first thing happens, we go third down, and their pass rusher goes right around him and strip sacks us, gets the ball. They return it back inside the 30, and then they score a touchdown. They never look back.
And that's how it went tonight, 30-20, the final of the Vikings over the Chicago Bears.
So you know what, Danny, what you just said there, and you think, like, okay, now whose fault was that? Is that the offensive lineman's, the offensive line's coach? I mean, the offensive line coach, is that his fault because he did that? Or is it because of that football player? Could he be that stupid that he doesn't know his strengths and his weaknesses? Could that be?
It's called the offensive coordinator. Let me tell you this. In 1988, we played the 49ers here in Soldier's Field.
And I was going to go through a litany of things if you'd let me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just worked up.
Just kidding you.
But here's the point. The 49ers that night kept 7 and 8 in the block. Richard Dent had a broken arm and Fridge had a broken leg. It was just me and Mongo and some other guys, and they still max protected all night, ran two-man routes with Jerry Rice and John Taylor, and they beat us to death because they knew, Bill Walsh knew, first things first, we protect Joe Montana, and then we will get the ball to the proper receiver.
That's the key.
There you go.
You got to understand it. Goes back to that story about Joe Namath.
There you
what
go.
What Weeb Eubanks said.
Exactly.
Who was the most important guy on this team?
Joe Namath.
And
he said, and if he gets hurt, we all lose our jobs. Well, guess what? These guys right here, they need to lose their jobs.
All right, one more segment to go here. We'll wrap things up in just a few moments. A 30-20 win for the Vikings over the Bears here tonight.
I'm frustrated with all of it. I think just trying to find ways to put us in better spots, design some better plays, call better plays, so we can execute them better. So anytime we're not able to stay on the grass and move the ball and score points, I'm going to be frustrated. So about the same as I am with everything else.
Happen to be is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, Thomas Brown, again reacting after the loss here today.
He's frustrated because they haven't scored points. He's got to be very frustrated. They have scored zero in the first half the last three games. Now, let me just tell you, talking about Sam Darnold, just a few more things, folks. Let me tell you how smart they are. I'm talking they, meaning Kevin O'Connell and that staff up in Minnesota. When Sam Darnold goes through practice, he wears a camera on his visor in walkthroughs and practices. And afterwards, J.J. McCarthy goes in and breaks it down. He's out all year. He's on the injured. But he goes through and breaks it down with Kevin O'Connell and goes through the proper reads. Now, Remember, I told you, they are not going to sign Sam Darnold. He had a one-year prove-it deal. Well, guess what? Smart money is they put a franchise tag on him because he could sign with anybody. Right now, ESPN ranks Sam Darnold as the number one free agent acquisition of the pending class coming up for the 2025 season. Remember, everybody wants to go out and sign the free agents in the spring. Right now, Darnold is the number one. Smart money, instead of just letting him walk away, OB, smart money, and you watch what they do. They put a franchise tag on him, okay? Knowing they're not going to keep him, but now, whoever it be, Cleveland, the Raiders, whoever, New Orleans, now they have to give him draft picks to sign him. Think about how smart they are up there and how stupid we are putting this group of coaches around the number one overall pick.
I hear you, Danny. And I'd just like to get back to what I like, just basically what I've been talking about in and out all night here. This coaching staff, folks, again, this team, you go back to the offseason. The all the different camps, training camp, etc. During the exhibition season, they don't play any of our starters. Four games, none of them played. And as we speak, we've got three games left. We look like the team that started the season out. Have we gotten smarter? Have we been able to correct our negatives? Number one, converting on third down. Number two, scoring points. Number three, winning games. Have we advanced? Have we gotten better in those three areas? No, we have not. Now, why is that? There's only one answer. Head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and position coaches. You got your nucleus. These are the guys you wanted. You brought them in. The Bears signed them, and you're going to war with them. And guess what? You just let them out there to stumble, fumble, and bumble around like a bunch of people that have no concept of how to win a game in today's NFL. That's what it looks like to me. We don't know what the hell we're doing on offense. We can't even convert. And again, what makes me say that? That we don't know what the hell we're doing. We can't convert on third down. We can't. We go 0-for-6 today. And we convert one time in the entire game. What was it, 1-for-12? Folks, you're not going to win a football game. We can't score points. But yet, we've got Caleb Williams. And I'm just saying this right now. I'm still, it's enough with him already. This is just me saying it, not Dan or not Andy. This is me. When the hell is this kid going to step up and move this team forward? When is he going to do it? How can you not score a point in two games back-to-back, the first half of football? How can you convert one time in the first half in two ball games? You play two halves and you convert one time. How is that possible? Sometimes somebody's got to ask these questions. If I was a writer and I was talking to Caleb Williams, those would be the questions that I would be asking. I would be asking, why can't you convert on third down? Whose fault is that? Is that your fault? Is that the coaches? Is it the offensive line? Whose fault? Can't somebody ask that guy these questions?
Somebody's going to have to.
All right, that'll do it for us here tonight. The Bears lose 30-12. We'll be back with you again on Sunday at 11 a.m. as the Bears host the Detroit Lions. A big thanks to Sammy, Jack, and Eli behind the glass there, Krista and Adam also for their help here this evening.
They're the best.
And we will be back with you again on Sunday.